Grade 5, Why Teach History? George Santayana, the Spanish-American philosopher, once said quite famously, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And Karl Marx, the Marxist philosopher, said no less famously, "History always repeats itself. The first time is tragedy, the second as farce." So we can see history is important to learn, hopefully. Perhaps things can be less of a farce than they've become in the present time. I can just attest to the fact that having lived through the 1960s, 1970s, and so on, to see the recurrence of so many events, to see the similarity of newspaper coverage as governments manipulate events, as governments watch helplessly as the tide of history sweeps through their lands and so on, to see how again and again it's the same story, and how naively, how patriotically, how enthusiastically people allow the wool to be pulled over their eyes, because they're not even recalling history of 10 or 20 years ago, no less the much grander movements that have occurred over centuries and epochs. And of course, that has a lot to do with modern education, which has become increasingly relevant, to use one catchword among others, and less concerned with long ago and far away. That is felt to no longer really bear on the immediate needs of our time. And perhaps because those who understand something of that long ago and far away may have deeper insights into the meaning of historical phenomena than governments, than corporations, than who knows whom even want them to have. So the history, the teaching of history, rather, is an endangered species in the educational world. And it is certainly an area in which Waldorf schools are outstanding and really bring a strong emphasis on an understanding of this great legacy to bear on the child. And it certainly is remarkable, as you will see in your preparation and in your teaching, how much ground we cover in grade 5. Now, because we are so historical, because we do have such a concern for children feeling that they are part of the grand continuum of human culture and civilization, why do we wait so long? If, for example, you look at the excellent Veritas books catalog — Veritas is a homeschooling company that offers courses online, live, in all sorts of ways, in classical Christian or Christian classical studies. And you see right away in first grade, they're pouring on the history, and they offer excellent books and very interesting approaches to it, but very, very young by Waldorf standards. Or we are very, very late by most standards. If anyone feels history is worth teaching, and the people at Veritas and the whole Christian / classical education movement, which is predominantly a homeschooling movement, feel that way as well, we seem to be coming very, very late to it. So I tried in the general overview to lay a foundation for our understanding of this, just let's look at this again, that for the first 10 years of her life, a child is incorporating her etheric body. It started out far away in the sphere of the moon, as I've said before, and quite rapidly, of course, covers a lot of ground over that decade, going from something that was 90%, 85% outside of the child's body to finally being completely drawn in and becoming at one with that body. So the etheric body is responsible for the form, for the human form. It is working to, like a sculptor working on wet clay, to create the outer form that we carry and to organize our organs so that they assume their rightful places, their rightful sizes, and their right functions within the body. And of course, a good deal of this work is already in place by the time of the second dentition. So the etheric body now no longer has to work nearly as hard on forming the physical body, but those capacities, those forces, are still there in the etheric body. So not only is it incorporating and becoming one with the physical body, but its capacities, its inherent energies are being liberated for other things. And this is one of Steiner's great revelations to the educator, that with the coming of the second teeth, the etheric body is being rapidly liberated so that formative forces are now becoming forces of memory. It is becoming the foundation for the intellect, for thinking in later years. And thinking occurs as the astral body, which is certainly also present, though somewhat in abeyance at age 10, 11, the astral body and the etheric body, their dialogue, when they are behaving with one another, and the astral body is not always known for its good behavior, but when it behaves and the etheric and astral can work together, then we see thinking, the capacity of thinking flashing up. So this means that the fifth grader is endowed with tremendous capacity of memory, because the etheric body is so intimately at one with the child, and because the etheric body is so much now a body of memory. Secondly, the capacities, the forces that the etheric body used to build the organs and to put them in their rightful place, these forces are now also liberated to become the capacity for organization. Something like a dreamy image of what will later be called executive function, which comes from a very different direction. But there's something of that. So the fifth grader likes to remember things and likes to organize things. And this can be a year when some children show up in school with a kind of notebook that they've created for themselves, where they write down things about the different blocks, and maybe they like to have little tabs and so on. So this can come, especially with some of the girls who are already starting to mature a little faster. But we could think that the child himself, the child herself, is something like a little Filofax, like something of a little personal digital assistant in a way, with these remarkable new capacities of a very powerful memory and an organizational faculty. In fact, at this age, because of the intimate connection of etheric and physical body, memory goes beyond what we would normally consider its limits, which is to be able to remember lots of facts and figures and the state capitals and state flowers, let's say. or the lines of the class play, all well and good, or even remembering verbatim poems and plays from the first four grades. The fifth graders will often spout these with great delight. Oh, I haven't thought of that for 4 years. Let me see if I can remember it. And the whole play comes out. Yes, that's all there. But there's something else as well. The etheric body not only carries the capacity to remember this entire life like a camera from birth up until the present moment. The etheric body is a camera that's been working for thousands of years. The etheric body also carries within it, in its deepest strata, memories of previous lifetimes. And this is the great secret, the great mystery of the fifth grader, that this is an age when children have the capacity to have not sharp, clear memories like what happened yesterday or the day before, not even the sort of half-dreamy memories of what they did when they were four or five, but a memory that's almost on the level of being asleep, just barely comes into consciousness, but sometimes flashes up with remarkable clarity. And these are memories of past lives. This is why we teach history at this age, to help the child organize their own etheric residue, we might say, what lives there unconsciously and in a certain way, not necessarily positively, in the etheric body. Because, of course, we carry with us, as we know, karma from previous lifetimes. No lifetime is ever long enough for us to accomplish everything that we set out to do. Very few of us, perhaps the initiate is an exception here, are able to simply solve all of our karma, unravel all of those karmic knots in any one lifetime and come into the next lifetime fresh and new and unburdened. Rather, there are things that we carry over. And in fact, it's not only our individual karma, but we could say that every civilization, every great culture has a kind of karmic task, which it too cannot completely fulfill. You know, the story of civilization is the story of great beginnings and tremendous high points, but almost always followed by periods of decline, if not outright decadence, in which all of the ideals and the principles of that culture seem to fall apart. So all of us carry this as well. And when we see a work of art from an ancient time, particularly, and this is the case with much art from ancient times, when there's strong symbolic content, when we are looking at something like the Ankh cross of ancient Egypt or the all-seeing eye of an Egyptian hieroglyph, or centaur of ancient Greece, or you know, any one of thousands and thousands of symbols, these work very strongly on the etheric body. These have a kind of echo, a resonance. They cast ripples into the otherwise serene, watery pool of our etheric nature. So it is with the recognition that these forces are stirring, particularly in grade five, that it's not just a matter of this being a good time to teach history. This is a time when it is a necessity to teach history. We'll go on.